Welcome to Kingdom Conversations. I'm Randy Turpin, your host for this podcast, where we discuss themes pertaining to the Kingdom of Heaven. Today, we're going to a recording of a phone conversation that I had with my good friend, Steve Gardner, and in this conversation, we're discussing the theme of deliverance, or the casting out of demons. Let's go now to that recorded session.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome once again to Kingdom Conversations. I'm your host, Randy Turpin, and we're so blessed to have with us as a guest today, Pastor Steve Gardner. Steve pastors Christ the Rock Church of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. Steve, welcome back to Kingdom Conversations.
Thank you, Dr. Turpin. It's an honor to be here once again with you and your students.
In a previous podcast, two podcasts, actually, you shared with us some amazing testimonies about the raising of the dead. I mean, you were an eyewitness to that. And what I've asked you to join us here to share today is dealing with another aspect of Spirit-empowered ministry, and that is the casting out of demons, which sounds scary. But, you know, it's part of what Jesus commissioned us to do. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 and 8, he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." Now, what can you share with us here today that helps us in the sense of demystifying this a bit for us? This just sounds like something that's just for the spiritual elite.
Yeah, it is not. And one of the things, there's a couple of things that we have to do to demystify this. Number one, we must not take our theology from Hollywood movies or fictional books. We have to understand that the Word of God gives us emphatic direction and all we need to know to carry out this part of kingdom ministry, Spirit-empowered ministry. That's number one. Number two, one of the greatest weapons the enemy uses is fear, and the fear of what if, fear of unknown. And we have to not allow ourselves to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. And if I could just interject a side note here, I want to encourage your listeners, don't feed on fearful things. And what I mean by that is I made a covenant years ago never again to watch fearful horror movies and things that glorify fear and evil, because it imparts it into your spirit, into your mind and your soul. And it actually, almost every time you watch one, it's like fertilizer of this horrible fear, which is the opposite of faith. And so I encourage your listeners, don't watch the fear and horror movies and all of those things, and those things that make you afraid to even go in your very bedroom at night. Your house should be filled with peace. Focus on peace. Focus on faith. Make a covenant like I did. I grew up watching all the horror movies like so many people did in my generation, and make a covenant not to watch that stuff anymore, and you will notice an incredible increase of faith and peace. And the enemy will try to use that to keep you in bondage so that you can't walk in faith. With that being said, let me get back to what we're talking about. Ephesians 1, 19-23, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says this. I'm quoting from the New Living Translation. He says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him." Not spiritual elite, not super saints, but for us who believe. Incredible greatness of God's power. And here's the Dr. Turpin, here's what's so amazing. He says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere, here's the key, with himself.
Wow.
And if your listeners will grab a hold, let me Ephesians 1, 19 to 23, if they will read that, and I just feel led of the Holy Spirit to encourage your listeners, read that, reread it, study it, focus it, memorize it, get it into your spirit. You will begin to walk in kingdom power and authority because the Lord himself has given us authority over demonic spirits. In fact, when Jesus sent out the 70, they came back and they said, Lord, we are amazed. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus, I'm paraphrasing in my own translation, Jesus said, why would that amaze you? Why would that amaze you? He said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Why did he beheld him? Because he kicked him out. And he said, behold, I give unto you, each of you, every one of you listening, power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, which are representations of demonic spirits and evil spirits, and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says, but don't marvel at this. Don't marvel that the spirits are subject to you. He makes it a declaration. They are subject to you in my name. Don't marvel at that. Marvel rather that you're part of my kingdom.
Amen. Well, it seems to me that you've already put some people at ease, I'm sure, here, that this is part of normative Christianity, isn't it?
Yes.
That God has positioned us in such a place, because we are in Christ, seated together with him in the heavenly places, there, I mean, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. All of these things are beneath his feet. And we're seated there with him.
Yes.
And though it may look like I'm seated right here in Franklin, Tennessee, and you're seated right there in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we're some distance apart, but we're here on planet Earth, but it is equally true. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ.
Yes, amen.
And all this is beneath our feet. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Amen. But listen, this is more than theory for you. I mean, you've actually seen in your ministry people that have been under demonic influence set free. And I know there are varying levels of demonic activity and oppression, and you know, I don't know that we have time to get into all of that here in this segment, but maybe you could share some from your own experience of what this actually looks like to set people free in Jesus' name from this type of oppression.
Yes, I want to do that, but if I could have your permission, Dr. Turpin, I would first like to pray first, because the enemy
please.
Can sometimes even take these testimonies of the glory of God and use them as elements of fear in believers' lives who are just starting to walk in kingdom reality. So let's pray real quick. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the truth that is about to go forward and is going forward in these wonderful podcasts from Dr. Turpin. And we know, God, that you are doing this, God, to raise up those who are hearing this, Lord, for spirit-empowered ministry. I thank you for them. I bless them in the name of Jesus. But now, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind in Jesus' name with Dr. Turpin every spirit of darkness that would try to take our very words and turn them and use them for elements of fear. You will not. You will not do this. In the name of Jesus, we cancel your assignment against everyone listening. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. And I guess that would be, before I get into this, I mean, there are more stories than you could have podcasts to share about this.
Yeah.
And there's so many, but I'll pick a couple and share with you. But before we do that, for your listeners who are listening, if you will notice how Dr. Turpin and I just prayed, we prayed with authority. We prayed with that Ephesians 1 authority that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, in the spiritual realms. We are seated with him, and we exercised his authority over the realm of darkness so that the enemy could not use our words against us and twist them. And that is the authority, listener, that you have in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, and you need to begin to learn to walk in it. I refer to it as legislative authority. Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 16 with Peter's declaration, he replied, now I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock is confession. I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. It's legislative authority. And your listeners who are listening need to understand that they operate on behalf of the authority given to them by Jesus as the bride of Christ. With that being said, there's a couple that come to mind, a couple of instances. I remember at our last church when we pastored in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin, a suburb of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and we were there for 14 years, replanted the church, and God was doing some incredible things. That was where the first raising of the dead took place, and there was a young man that actually had come. It wasn't a Sunday morning service, but he was in our parsonage, and he was talking to my wife and I, and we were confronting error, and we were confronting lies of the devil that had become a bedrock in his mind, become such a stronghold in his mind. And we began to speak against it and share truth and pray against it. And at one instance, we were standing there talking with him, confronting him with his truth, and he was demonized. And what I mean by that is that he had demonic spirits that manifested themselves. And there are, as you mentioned, levels of demonization. And this was rather severe. And he began shaking his head no. There was physical signs. His eye drove back in his head. He began to convulse. And the demonic spirit threw him on the ground and actually picked him up. We saw him rise in the air and spin in the air. And we immediately, of course, knew what was happening. We said, in the name of Jesus, loose him. And when we did, he immediately dropped. And was in his right mind and looked at us, and we began to bind those spirits one by one and cast them out and take authority over them. And he began to cry and weep and cry out to God for mercy and surrendered his life to him and asked God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please touch me. And today he is serving the Lord and leading people out of alcoholism and drug abuse by the hundreds. By the hundreds.
Wow.
And so it's a manifestation of kingdom reality. But I feel like I need to share one real quickly, Dr. Turpin, if I may, that may help some people. My wife, when we first went into the ministry together, our first pastorate, hadn't been in it long. She was only about, I was 26, so she was 24. And she was at a women's conference. And there was a woman who was demonized, and it was quite obvious. The speaker was speaking, it was moving and flowing in the Holy Spirit, operating in a spirit-empowered ministry, and this demon began to speak through this woman and called her, I don't remember the name, I'm going to pick a name to protect her identity, we'll say Susie. That wasn't the name, but we'll just say the demon was calling her Susie. She said, what is your name? She said, it's Susie. And this preacher looked at my wife and said, God is going to use you tonight to pray over her and bring deliverance. And my wife, being 24 years old, she thought what a lot of your listeners may think as we're talking about this, oh no, I don't want anything to do with this. Let the preachers handle this. Let those who've been in this for years handle this. Doesn't this need someone who's fasting right now to handle this? And she said, no. And the woman looked at her and said, no, God wants to use you. And she said, this demon-possessed woman turned and looked at her and growled at her. And she said, all of a sudden, something inside of her, which we know was the Holy Spirit, swelled up. And a boldness and an authority came over her. And she went up to this woman boldly. And when she did, the woman, the demon, threw her down on her back. And my wife actually straddled her chest and said, in the name of Jesus, how dare you come out of this woman now? By the authority of Jesus Christ, we cast you out. And the woman convulsed a little bit and spit. And she said, I said, now. In the name of Jesus, just a boldness come over her, like in Acts 1:8 and Acts 2:4, and this thing come out of her, and she began to weep. And my wife led her to the Lord, and she readily accepted Jesus. And when she got up, my wife said, "Mary or Susie, you are free." She said, "Why are you calling me Susie?" She said, "My name is Mary, and again, I'm changing the names." The demon had completely renamed her. That's the level of demonization. And she's walking in freedom to this day.
It's all about the freedom.
Yes.
I mean, that people need this kind of liberation. I mean, you know, one thing that I've found that it's so unfortunate, we sometimes can have a tendency to look at people who are, their life is a wreck, they're living under oppression. We don't always recognize it. Is that's what it is, and if we're not careful, we can have an attitude toward people of, you know, why don't you just pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, you know? But isn't it true that some people are so under the enemy's influence that they need someone else to come alongside them in the authority of the name of Jesus and be an agent of God, if you will, used of God to set them free? Because it is possible to be in a place where people cannot help themselves. They can't set themselves free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is, as you mentioned at the beginning, there are levels of demonization and demonic activity. You know, in the body of Christ, we like to many times refer to demon possession versus demon oppression. But in the original Greek, it's all referred to as demonization, and there's varying levels of that demonization. What we might would call being harassed or oppressed in a believer's life, it is a particular level. Let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, that might be a 2 or 3. But then there are people that are at a 7 or 8 who actually begin to think the thoughts of the demonic spirits, act out what the demonic spirit wants. They're very contrary to their own character and nature. And at that point, they need deliverance. And then there's people that are at what we would say a 10, like this woman, where the demon actually took over so much control, it was almost like she was lost in his personality. And he renamed her the name that he wanted to name. And that person needs someone who is operating in spirit-empowered ministry to set them free. And then immediately, and I can't emphasize that enough, immediately lead them to a decision to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's where the power remains in their life. The freedom remains. But this is all, Dr. Turpin, this is all, you know, when we talk about, we celebrate the gospel message, and we should, about people being freed from sin and being redeemed. This is the freedom of the gospel message, because the fall didn't just affect our spirit, but it affected our soul. It affected our physical body. It affected every aspect of the human experience that each one of us endured. And the freedom of the gospel includes freedom from demonic spirits.
And, you know, I don't think necessarily we need to be looking for a demon behind every rock, you know, or around every corner. But I also believe, it sounds like I'm saying the opposite at the same time, that there's a lot more demonic influence behind some of the evil people are experiencing than what is realized. We do need to recognize that this is spiritual warfare that we're dealing with.
Yes.
And any time there is a prevailing evil over a person's life, repeated patterns of evil or whatever, there is a possibility that this type of oppression is at work.
No, that's right.
Do you have any other that's instances? Right. Maybe we have time for maybe one more.
Sure. I was when we planted the church we're in now. My wife and I planted. I really didn't want to plant it. And the reason I didn't want to plant it is because I'd already done a demographic study, and I knew how many churches were in Knoxville, Tennessee. This mm-hmm. is the buckle of the Bible Belt, and there's churches everywhere. Within a five-mile radius of our church, there are 270 Christian churches. And so mm-hmm. I knew this was a very heavily saturated area. I didn't want to come. But God called us to plant this church. And he said, I want you to plant a church based upon my son, on him. You don't need to worry about growing it. You don't need to try to draw people. I will bring the people I want there. We came here with no money, with nothing, just trusting that God had spoken to us. And by the way, he provided. And whenever God calls you, he will provide if you know he's called you. And we were here one night, and I was laying in bed, and like, you know, a good husband, I was laying there thinking, okay, I've got about 2 weeks of savings we can live on, and this church we are planting in our living room better be taken off by then. I have to pay bills and feed my family. Mm-hmm. And as I was laying there, I was wide awake, the room began to change, and the Lord gave me a vision. And as I was laying there, I looked down the hallway, out of my bedroom, down the hallway, and I seen about a 6.5 foot, 6 to 6.5 foot serpent, but it was the size of a man, a body of a big man, and it had the head of a man, but it was obviously demonized. And it slithered towards me, and it raised up in this vision and tried to enter me. And I said, absolutely not. You will not enter me.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed. The scene changed. And I seen a young man about college age sitting in a chair, and I was standing there with my wife and other people whose face I couldn't make out. And he was demonized with this spirit. And we began to take authority over it and cast it out. And then the vision was over. And I said, Lord, what is it that you just showed me? And I said, I said, what is it that you just showed me? And he said, I have showed you. I've showed you the demonic stronghold here in Knoxville. And I said, Lord, what is his name? And he said, his name is religion. And that's why I want you to build a church on my son and his name alone. I want him to be the rock. Hence our name, Christ the Rock, from Peter's Confession. And we were preaching one night, and I made a statement on a Sunday morning the week before, just as any pastor would, and I said, you know, there are a lot of churches that are moving in kingdom power and reality, but we're in the Bible Belt, brothers and sisters, and not every church or people or preacher that claims to be of God actually represents God. And I think we all understand that and know that. And there's not a lot of genuine true disciples, but God is raising them up. Made that statement. 1 week later, I was preaching on a Sunday evening, and a young man walked in the back of the church and walked straight up to me as I was preaching. And I stopped, expecting this could be something very dangerous, and I positioned myself between him and the congregation. And he said, I have to speak to your people. I said, that's not happening. And he said, you don't understand, I'm the Holy Spirit. I said, you are not the Holy Spirit, and you will sit down and you will be quiet. And he sat down on the front pew, and I sat down next to him, and he looked at me, and he smiled, but it wasn't him. And he smiled at me, and he said, I know you. And he said, there's not a lot of true preachers here in this area, is there? But you're one. I know you. And I said, and I know who you are, and I command you in the name of Jesus to be silent. And he dropped his head and began to convulse. And I called for our pastors that were there, and we gathered around, and we laid hands on him. And I told the people to pray, and we cast those demons out one by one. And he just wept, and he just cried, and his family come and got him and took him home. But he actually quoted, this demonic spirit actually quoted my sermon to me and said, I know you. But we commanded him to be silent, and he was silent. And I would encourage your listeners, you need to limit your conversations with demonic spirits, and you need to get about to freedom. Because you brought up a very good point, Dr. Turpin. Even the scripture I quoted, Jesus said, don't marvel that demons are subject to you. In other words,
that's right.
Don't make that a big idea. You should know that if you are in me. For I subjected them, but rather marvel that your names are written in the book of life. In other words, here's the thing. You don't have to go looking for demons, but if you're walking in spirit and power of ministry and advancing the kingdom, you will run into them.
Yeah.
Take care of them by the authority of Jesus and get back to the proclamation of the gospel and bringing freedom.
That's it. Amen. You know, and I refuse to be impressed by the devil and anything he has to offer, but I'm very impressed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pastor Steve,
Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing with us. And I just want to right now just pray a prayer of blessing over you, over your congregation, over your family, as well as over our listeners here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, dear God, that you have ordained that a great ministry of liberation and freedom be released into the church. And may any who are listening right now who are under any sort of oppressive work of the enemy, may you even in this moment be freed in Jesus' name, released in Jesus' name, and may even now the Holy Spirit move in and fill those empty places. And I encourage you, my friend, as right now as the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind, the Spirit of God is bringing to mind some things right now that you know have opened the door for oppressive works of Satan. I'm not saying you're demon-possessed, but there's some oppressive things that have been happening in your life, and right now the Holy Spirit is making you aware this is where the door has been opened. Right now, in the name of Jesus, confess that to God as sin. Say, Lord, this is sin in my life. I don't want it anymore. I renounce it, and I turn it over to you, Jesus. Forgive me. Move into my life, Holy Spirit, and be my strength in these areas of weakness. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Man, I wish we had more time. We could really go after this a lot more. But anyway, but I'm sure this is not the last time, folks, that we're hearing from Pastor Steve Gardner. I'll find a good reason to get him back on here sometime soon. So,
I would
love thank you. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Pastor Steve. And thank you, folks, for joining us here for another episode of Kingdom Conversations.